this also plays into what a lot of people are saying, and that is that there's going to be a broker convention, and guess who is going to emerge as a candidate, and that's Hillary Clinton, president. And I thought Trump was probably a sure thing to be reelected, but with the coronavirus thing going on, I don't know, that seems to be politicized, and it looks like they're aiming that at him and trying to blame him for it. We know these people are eugenicists that run it. Bill Gates is drooling over 33 million possible deaths, and you know, these guys are like Frankenstein's cackling over this, and they've been talking about it for so long, about millions need to die, culling the herd. Is this what they've been waiting for? I certainly hope not, but...
Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Donald Jeffries joining me today. He's going to talk about his book, Bullyocracy, but we're first going to talk about some of the craziness with Biden and the Democratic Party. What the heck are they thinking? Just so weird. We're also going to talk about the coronavirus, what's going on there. We're going to analyze, is it a hoax? Is it not a hoax? You know, Donald Trump thinks it. It's a hoax, he's saying it, but I'm having some issues there with it being a hoax. I just can't see how China would have shut themselves down and Italy would have shut themselves down and all the scientists I'm talking to. And I have some issues with us not testing and then saying that. I hope he's right. I mean, wouldn't you hope that he's right and we don't get affected by it? Either way, we're going to be affected by the global supply chain and our economy. So we talk about those things, and then we talk about bullyocracy, which is just, we get into a really good conversation about what's going on in our whole society and how it's trickling down from, you know, our sex trafficking and drug trafficking and just, and then the schools and our justice system, and how does that all work together and how does that relate to what people are taught as they're growing up? It's important. It's an important topic. He's the only one that's really taken this on from this perspective. So I really hope it penetrates and it gets read and people start talking about it. And then I want to tell you, before I get into this interview, I want to talk to you about the coronavirus more. And I talk about it a little bit during the interview about prevention. You know, we have our CDC and people wash your hands and stay away from public places and then good luck is essentially what they're saying. And, you know, and then you got responsible people saying, you know, build up your immunities and what you can do. Well, I want to tell you, I've been interviewing a lot of scientists. I've been interviewing doctors. I had Q Lee that was on our show, who's a master healer. And I want to tell you, this is what we've come up with is the best preventative. First of all, eat well. You know, your vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, all your great, eat your vitamins, eat well, make sure you're healthy. But C60 for dealing with antioxidants and inflammation, it is 200 times better than any other vitamin out there for antioxidant or any other thing out there. And just like a vacuum cleaner. And the atomizer, it's also we call it the diffuser, but it's really an atomizer because you don't add water, you just do it straight from the vial. I'm making nothing on it, okay, everybody? I have chosen not to make anything on that product because that's the way you can get it to the mass. This product can work with mass people, whole families, whole nursing homes. Anybody in a room can get it into their lungs. It's less expensive. Neighbors can share it. Nursing homes can share it. Hospitals could get it and put it in rooms. It is a lot less expensive in this mode. Max, Live Longer Labs, and the manufacturer, they're all taking very low, right above cost, so that we can get this out to them as many people as possible. Maybe long term, if this pandemic goes away, they can cut costs, manufacturing costs, we can raise the price a little bit, and maybe we can make some money on it. But right now we're not. I just want people to understand that. And then Chuli, the master healer, she has a weekly seminar that she's doing for free to teach people how to build up your immunity. She is the best. She's the highest you can be, a doctor of medicine in Chinese, master of medicine. Her bio is on my site. Anybody I interview, their bio is on my website. You can always look that up. And so you can know that I'm who I'm talking to, and I'm talking to real legit people, doctors, scientists, people who are very good at what they do. And so preventative, again, Chuli, she has her weekly seminar, master healer of Chinese medicine weekly. I have the link here. You can go to my website, and you can get the link. Otherwise, the description for people listening on podcasts, the description should be below or on the show page. You will find the link to her, seminar that she gives weekly on how to build your immunities. C60, you can go to my shop under sarahwestall.com/shop. You can get the diffuser. You can share with people. It is expensive at first because you're getting the diffuser with the oil, but then after that, you can just get the oil replacements. It lasts kind of a long time. It lasts over a month for the vial. And again, multiple people can be using it. It's a lot less expensive than taking the gel caps. I also take the gel caps. Now, the gel caps, I make money on. I just want to let you know, I sponsor, I'm promoting it, I take it. If you have the resources, get the gel caps. If you don't, this diffuser is a way to get it out to a lot of people. And then the third thing is, once you have the virus, once you think you have the virus, you can test for it. Sherry Edwards has a test that she's doing. We know we have testing issues. Hopefully, if you're really sick, you follow the CDC. We have to follow their guidelines. Get a test from your local hospitals. But if you wonder, there's a voice test analysis you can do. I'll have the link on the show page here. Also, Sherry Edwards, she has it on soundhealthoptions.com. I have it with the show page and the link below. So you can test your own voice. Then we have the frequencies that will counteract the coronavirus. The frequencies have already been published on the last show that I did with Sherry Edwards. The music and sound file is being created and composed by James Marshall. He did do Lasil, which works for pneumonia, and there's been many cases of people that have been able to fight their pneumonia when nothing else has worked. So you should try this. Again, though, I want to tell you, we are not doctors. This is experimental. So if you believe that you have it and it's not working for you, you need to get to a medical facility. I do not want to be anybody to believe that this, you need to be responsible for yourself in this situation. But that music file will be posted. I'm chomping at the bit to get that music file from James. I know a lot of people are asking me about this music file. So it is coming. And as soon as it's here, I will put it up on the front page of my website so everybody knows. So I really hope you look into those things, and I'll have all the links below. And then I want to get back to the Donald Jeffries interview here. He does stick around for my patrons. We're going to talk about his next book that's going to be coming out, and it's about the money in Hollywood. He talks about a lot of famous people that people have known maybe in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And how come they're not wealthy now? What is really happened? And he talks about the money in Hollywood and what's going on in their lives. And then he talks about this this phenomena where so many stars die. And why are there so many deaths in Hollywood? And he talks about that and just kind of the knowledge, what it's like to be famous. It's a really good insight into Hollywood and people who are actual stars and actors and what their life is really like. So that's going to be for my patrons. You can get that at patreon.com/Sarah Westall. The link is below. So now let's get into this really good and timely interview with Donald Jeffries. Donald, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's always great to be with you.
You have a great book that we're going to talk about, Bullyocracy, and we're going to take it, I hope, a couple steps farther and really analyze where we are as a country and with this crime, this cabal, sex trafficking and drug infestation and all these issues that are intertwined, the endless wars. I want to tie it to the big picture of how we are a mess in this country, and I want to get into it. But before we get into that, I got to ask you your opinion on some current things that are going on. First, let's start with, what the heck are the Democrats thinking backing Biden when they know he has the onset of dementia? I mean, I couldn't believe some of the clips. I mean, anybody can go and look at some of these clips of him. There's no way he's going to win a debate with Trump. I could beat him in a debate, and I'd have a practice. I could just show up.
This political world is at this point. But Biden seems like an unlikely candidate. But the Democrats had two decent candidates, Tulsi Gabbard, who I like very much. And I don't know if you saw, I went to her rally in Fairfax with one of Roger Stone lawyers, of all people, invited me to go. And I was able to get videotaped asking her a question about the JFK assassination. Gave her a copy of Survival of the Richest, got a photograph taken of her with it. So she's, I think, a very appealing candidate. But they ignore her. They've, you know, she's suing Hillary Clinton, suing Google and all this stuff. And then you had Andrew Yang, who I thought had some interesting ideas. So I think they had two candidates that would have been interesting, but they froze both of them out and they went with the most awful ones. And now they've apparently gone after one who is going to make Trump look really articulate, I guess, on stage. I don't know. I mean, it's amazing that because Biden is losing it. You know, once you start going through those stages, I don't think you recover. So I don't know. Are they trying to lose the election? I who knows? Analyzing politics at this point, especially ever since Trump came on the scene, because he's changed everything. And, you know, you'd think they would try to go with a strong candidate. But this also plays into what a lot of people are saying, and that is that there's going to be a broker convention. And guess who is going to emerge as a candidate? And that's Hillary Clinton.
Gosh, it's just unbelievable. Well, it kind of seems like maybe because now she's jumping onto the scene. She's
yes.
tearing down Bernie. Biden's going to make Bernie look great, right? And
yeah.
But he's going to make Donald Trump look very articulate, very smart, and
yeah.
he's going to kill him in a debate. But are these Democrats just zombies? I mean, they march to whatever. It's a cult, or what is it? Because there's no critical thinking.
No, well, you know, I've had a theory for a long time that that both parties like to promote a lot of times the most uncharismatic candidates they can. I think like Amy Klobuchar or Rick Santorum for the Republicans a while back that have no appeal at all. And yet they promote them and claim they're surging. I don't know if they like to play mind games with people or what, but I think they already know who's going to be president. And I thought Trump was probably a sure thing to be reelected, but with the coronavirus thing going on, I don't know, that seems to be politicized. And it looks like they're aiming that at him and trying to blame him for it. So I don't know if that can work or not. But and they certainly don't have a strong candidate to run against him in Biden. But that's where I think the theories come that a brokered convention, which would seemingly be a bad thing for a bad, really bad look for the Democrats. But, you know, Hillary Clinton's got this 8-part Hulu special out there now, and she seems a lot more coherent than she did 4 years ago. I don't know what's going on there, but I think she could, at this point, she could probably speak circles around both Biden and Trump, regardless of what she's saying. But I, you know, who knows? At this point, I think presidents are selected rather than elected.
Did you watch her documentary?
You'd have to pay me a lot of money to sit for 8 hours with Hillary Clinton.
I can't watch it. I can't even watch people talking about it without getting irritated. So I'm serious. That's why I'm like, no, she can't run again. It's really sad. You got Tulsi Gabbard and then you got Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean?
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
No. Well, it's like, why can't, you know, as a female, I would like to have a woman up there that's not like that. You know, it's,
you sure
I, you know, because it makes everybody look bad. But that being said, let's get to the coronavirus. I know somebody in Wuhan, person we've been emailing back and forth, and he pretty much said, I mean, it was real in Wuhan, right? It was real there. And he pretty much said, you guys are effed, except to use the real word, in the United States, because we're not doing anything. And I mean, and then we have another person we met, because we were in China, so we met all these people. Now we're emailing and stuff. And another one is telling us, you guys need to be careful. You know, you guys, oh my God, you're doing nothing. So I believe that what they did in China was real, because I can't see them shutting a whole country down. I mean, how do you shut down a whole country if it's not real? I don't understand. And so how could this be? And I don't think 5G, although 5G is breaks down your immune system, I don't think it does it in mass. It's something that's built on top of something else. Or it can become a major issue to a lot of people over time, but not all at once and like this kind of scenario. So,
right. Well,
go ahead.
No, what's interesting that you mentioned Wuhan, and Wuhan is, of course, the area where all the protests were. And the first thing out of this was that the protests were gone. There are no more protesters now since this happened. I've been counseling. I believe like John Rappaport does, you know, go to No More Fake News. I think I had him on my show, and I think he's the best. First of all, he's an expert in this area, and he's talking about the parallels with the scare with swine flu, SARS, Ebola, even going back to AIDS. I mean, I remember as a young guy in the 80s, the scare about it. I remember Oprah Winfrey looking at the camera at one point and saying something like, experts estimate that, and I can't remember what it was, but it was an absurd statistic, something like the majority of Americans will have AIDS by 1990 or something ridiculous like that. But that's the hysteria that was out there then about AIDS. It was very real. So, of course, we know what happened there, that nothing like that happened. I'm hoping, but yeah, you're right. When they closed Italy, an entire country down, it's very troubling. And so this, you know, a lot of us have been talking about these kinds of things. We know these people are eugenicists that run. I mean, Bill Gates is drooling over 33 million possible deaths. And, you know, these guys are like Frankenstein's cackling over this. And they've been talking about it for so long, about millions need to die, culling the herd. Is this what they've been waiting for? I certainly hope not. But I do think that because YouTube has become such a censored outlet now, if this had been going on two, three years ago when YouTube had all those great videos about all the various incidents where people would produce these things from their parents' basement and show like the witnesses and videos and stuff that were questionable, and you could determine after watching a couple of them, okay, it's the same old thing going on again. We see the same thing. But you can't do that now because all that stuff is censored. So if those videos are getting done, I don't know where they're at. But because these are people that are doing the investigative work. I mean, I'm not really concentrating on that much, but I'm hoping that I'm right, that this is going to turn out to be a big nothing burger or whatever. But at this point, it certainly looks scary. But what is worse is the reaction to it. And I think that's what they play for. And I see it all around me, hysteria. But I have heard, and I'm trying to verify it, that there have been incidents of media coming and taking items off the shelves in stores and then filming the empty shelves.
I got to tell you, yeah. I've went to my local places and the shelves are empty with, you know, people are panicked and it's not, it's real because I personally saw it, but I could see them doing that too, just more for even sensationalism because they like that stuff. But, you know, when you say we got to, you know, cull the herd, I always say, why don't they be the ones we cull first? If anyone that thinks that we need to cull the herd needs to sign up to be in the culling, the first culling group, period. Period. Yeah. And if you can't be in the first culling group, then you have no business even talking about that.
Well, they don't fight wars. You know that. They don't send their loved ones to wars. I mean, it's the same thing.
You have no authority. Your opinion means nothing if you're not willing to be part of that cull group. Period. End of story.
Absolutely.
Because then you're not genuine. You're full of crap. And this goes right to whoever the leadership is that thinks that they need to do that. They're full of crap. Okay, but let's talk about the reaction to this. Okay, Italy shutting down. China's the one that really freaked me out at first. I was like, well, okay, this has to be real. I mean, whatever. And even if it's a 2% rate, that's still 20 times higher than the flu. Right. And the flu kills, what, up to 60,000 a year or something.
So that's still
a 1.2 million just in our country. So this is fairly serious if these numbers, these stats are real. And to all indications, they seem like they are. And in fact, it's probably could be higher than that. And so what do you think? I mean, now that you're looking at it more, because I kind of go back and forth, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to the way I look at it, that whatever is happening, and I said this on a couple of shows, is that whatever it is, it's not a random virus that suddenly went out of control. We've seen the Lysol cans. That, you know, what YouTube did is they have, and social media has done, because you had people out there that were filming the back of their Lysol cans, it says human coronavirus, that Lysol protects you. And then well before we heard the term, then they started changing the history, as they will do. Well, coronavirus has always been around. Well, we'd never heard of it before. Now it's 19, coronavirus 19. And this is, so where did this come from? How does it, and the problem I have is that the people, everyone we're listening to, I worked in the medical industrial complex all my life. I know how bad they are. So I don't trust anything they say. So we have the World Health Organization Centers for Disease Control. I'm not going to trust anything they're saying. I'm not trusting our politicians. And I think Trump, unfortunately, is the wrong guy to be voicing my side because he can't do it well. So he's saying it's a hoax and dismissing it. But, that's how he talks. So, of course, he's easy to make fun of. And nobody else except John Rappaport is really out there with a platform that's trying to articulate this, is that I believe, as Rappaport does, that this is another way to try to enroll everyone who's not enrolled into the medical industrial complex. Get your shots, get your vaccinations. You need to be tested and to make, mandatory.
That's really scary,
yeah,
because I have, we have, we've been talking about solutions. We have the C60, the preventative. I have Dr. Chu Li, who's a master of Chinese health, telling people, doing these free seminars, which I'll have a link for people. So you have C60 that works 200 times better than vitamin C. And we have these diffusers so the families can use it. I'm not making any money on it. The people putting out have all reduced their margins to, so they're essentially giving it away at cost. And so, and it can help people en masse. So I got two solutions that'll preventative. And then we have the frequency solutions that can help that once you get it. But it's all natural. And we can't say that you still have to go to the doctor if you get really sick. And I got to tell you, I'm not a doctor. Okay. We'll get past that. And you got to take responsibility into your own hands. But that being said, then you got the FDA and the CDC saying, wash your hands and good luck. And later on, we're going to force everybody to get a vaccine.
That's
total BS.
Yeah. So that's why you have people, all the people in our world, the awake world, people that know what's going on and are hip to the tyranny and corruption are out there. They're basically two kind of roads we're taking here. One is the road I'm on still, and that is to think, they lie to us all the time. They're just exaggerating this. The hysteria is becoming real. The empty shells are becoming real because people are panicked. I see it all around me. So it's the reaction to it that's probably going to be worse than the virus. And the other side, of course, is that they're lying to us and it's really much worse. And that, this is, they're trying to, but, and I just don't, first of all, they're never going to tell us the truth, obviously, but I just don't think, knowing the way they, that's why for a long time, after I quit smoking cigarettes, I kept thinking, there's got to be something good about cigarettes because they don't care about us at all. And they're constantly saying, don't smoke cigarettes. So maybe something's good about them. Because I know they don't care about our health. So I've never been able to figure out what it is, but fact that they don't care about it. So if they're telling, whatever they're telling you, I don't think it's for the public good because I just don't trust them. And I think that's the, what I'm clinging to. And I don't know. I'm sticking as I think Trump is essentially right. And unfortunately, he's the fall guy here. And he's going to be blamed as if he, is responsible for this. It's ridiculous.
But
they're
going to
place it as blaming, saying he didn't.
Go ahead. He didn't do his parts. But But is he being disingenuous, though, when he says we only have 27 deaths or whatever. Okay, that's true. And we only have 560 cases, but nobody's being tested. So how can you claim we only have 560 cases when nobody's being tested? I mean, there are people going to the doctor and there's doctors wanting to test and they can't. They're being denied the ability to test by the CDC because they didn't meet the criteria of being from a foreign country. It's that bureaucratic BS to the point where, in my state, being in Minnesota, says that they're ready because they got 400 tests.
Right.
400 tests. It just is ridiculous.
Well, I think that Trump is, unfortunately, he's not able to articulate, and his ego and his boasting gets in the way. So he quickly turns it into something ridiculous that has nothing to do with it. And that's what he'll do. And that's the unfortunate part about him being a spokesman for truth and justice is that he invariably says it awkwardly. And, when he's saying it's a hoax, I think he's probably right, but he doesn't have anything behind that because he really doesn't know anymore or can't talk anymore. And then he's basically trying to also do damage control because he knows he's under attack as always. So he's trying to make it look like, these are minimal cases. And so, don't get out of hand. But you're right. But of course, you can also say if there have only been a certain amount of tests done, that if there were more tests, presumably with the death count is accurate, that would mean that this rate that they're trying to promote, that it's a 3% death rate, is much lower.
Well, it's much higher at this point, depending
right,
on
but that,
the t- in Washington.
Right.
The death rate's much higher. But I like Trump. I actually do. I like that he's just blunt and says it like it is, and he's trying to get these things done. I just think in this particular case, he's making an error. And even if it is a hoax, he has to be careful about the non-testing issue.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can, and I, I think it could be a false flag that's real.
Well, it's fine. I guess said they've talked about this for a long time, and if just like with the economy, I mean, look at why is the stock market crashing like it is? I mean, yesterday the stock market went down over 2,000 points, but it was based upon what should have been good news. Oil prices dropping. I thought historically in the past when oil prices dropped, stock market went up. It doesn't make any sense. And I think that they're insiders and we see really what may be going on in the stock market. Was this, and again, this is where you get into the conspiracy theories, the people that are so loyal to Trump, and I'm really not, but I still hate his enemies. But though they're saying that this is being done to make Trump look bad. It certainly is. And obviously his main claim to fame was the economy. Well, if they start crashing the stock market, then he can't talk about the economy anymore. So I don't really understand why the stock market is tanking like it is.
But I don't know if they can claim it was him. If it's a coronavirus, it's not like it's his fault.
They already are.
And so, I know, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anybody that has a brain isn't going to look at the market crashing.
No, but the people that hate
being Trump's fault. I think it's more, there's a reset going on and central bankers doing things behind the scenes. I mean, I think this is a huge distraction. I think it's a real chaos that they're using. You don't waste a crisis.
No, exactly.
You use the crisis to make policy changes.
Exactly. And if you have insider knowledge like they all do, you get the word, okay, sell. And they sold when it was at its peak. And they're waiting now. I'm hoping they're waiting because all I can do is let what I have sit there at this point. And that's what most people can do. You don't want to panic and join in the hysteria economically, like I'm talking about the hysteria over the coronavirus. Well, there could be hysteria setting in if the stock market keeps dropping. People could take out what they have left and try to save something. And then the vultures, I think at some point, unless they're just going to leave the system dead and crash, they're going to come back in and buy in again. And that's when things will go up because they want to make money. So that's what I'm hoping at. But, you're right. It's not justified to blame Trump for this. But most of the criticism against Trump isn't justified, other than his personality and just the dumb things he says. Everything else is based on the hatred that so many people, the Trump derangement syndrome. So they're going to latch onto this, of course. I see it all over social media. They're personalizing this with him.
Yeah, but when you see the Bernie situation and you see what they're doing against Bernie,
yeah.
I think they're dividing the Democrat Party to a point where people are going to be pissed. I mean, I don't know. I think they're self-imploding.
You would think. I can't just claim to figure it. Ever since Trump was elected, Sarah, I gave up any political predictions because I didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. So for him to upset Hillary Clinton, I don't know what was going on there. And ever since then, you're right. It looks like the Democrats are committing political suicide here. I don't understand it because they want to beat Trump so bad. But they really, it's not like Bernie Sanders Bernie Sanders is actually a good candidate because he has a base. He can talk. He fires up people. And he does talk about issues, whether you agree with him or not. But Biden has nothing. And, and Hillary Clinton has nothing. So you're right. They risk losing all that passionate Bernie Sanders support if they screw him over again. But it looks like they're going to do that. I don't know. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Maybe they'll go to Adam Kokesh, the Libertarian Party. I mean, I actually think that we could realistically create a third party because he's saying everybody does what they want. If you listen to his platform, I think that Bernie Sanders, I interviewed him, I went through his platform. I actually think it's a legitimate option for Bernie Sanders followers. I think Trump will win. I think Bernie Sanders people should go. This is my prediction if I had my wish. Trump will win, but Bernie Sanders people will go over to Adam Kokesh. The Democratic Party will kind of just explode because they'll try to put Clinton in there or something stupid. And then we'll end up with a legitimate third party.
I know.
And then we'll have three parties.
Oh, yeah.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, well, Cindy Sheehan, my friend, says before we can have a third party, we need a second party. So I think that this Tweedledum, Tweedledee stuff, that's why I say that's why Trump was so unique. Trump was essentially a third party candidate. He's not a Republican. He's never been. So, I mean, that's what made him so unique. Now, nothing much is coming out of this except splitting the country. But I think that what's important is what happens after Trump. If we get four more years of Trump, that will be interesting to see what happens. But I don't know. Sarah, they're saying, who knows if this coronavirus hysteria gets bad enough or if it turns out to be real, God help us, they could be martial law. They could suspend the elections. Who knows if it gets that bad? I mean, I'm not a doom. There's a whole subset of our movement that are, I call them doomsters, that have been wanting this. You know, they want an asteroid to hit. You know, they want a plague, because they want, like you said, a reset. They want to hit the reset button because it is awful. It's like if your computer is full of viruses, you just boot, right? That's what they want to do. They want to reboot.
Yeah, and I understand it. I really do. Understanding the underside, and we're going to talk about bullyocracy and how bad this country is infested and why they want to reboot. But I think, you know, like my show, we keep talking about solutions. There are real solutions for the preventative solutions. And then if you happen to get it, then there's some solutions. There are good solutions. I'm hoping it just opens people's minds so there's more than the pharmaceutical companies and a vaccine.
That would be great.
You know, I mean, open our mind and start understanding some of this other science. And so many people are coming forward and giving their advice at cost or free. And the stuff, there are options here. And I'll be talking about it in the intro. I already talked about it at this point, right? Because the intro, I always record the intro afterwards. But you know, I mean, I'm hoping it opens people's minds and they start to learn from it, but it's just craziness. What do you think if, okay, I got to give the scenario. What will happen if there's a brokered convention, Hillary Clinton runs again, and they fix the election for Hillary Clinton? I mean, I don't, you said they're picked, not, yeah. They don't win, they're picked. I mean, are we in trouble? Am I, someone like me going to be allowed to even speak anymore? I mean, how bad is she?
Well, look what has happened under Trump. Look at the social media censorship under Trump. So what would it be like with Hillary? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much more. I mean, yeah, luckily shows like yours still exist. People like me still can go on shows like yours. But yeah, that may happen. That may end completely, because that's all we have left now, really, are podcasts and a few radio shows, because YouTube is, I mean, yeah, you can still put your stuff. There's still good people out there putting stuff on YouTube, but they're fewer and fewer, and they're demonetizing them. They're monitoring them. And fortunately for me, I seem to fly under their radar. I don't know. I've never even been warned on social media. It's amazing, the controversial stuff I talk about. But I think they're.
Yeah, but you're not getting new subscribers like you should. I'm
no,
flat.
No.
I mean, my shows were doing five times more volume last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a big difference.
Yeah, well, they're definitely messing with your views, I'm sure. They seem to do that with everybody. I knew that they do that with Sean of SDT Report and some other people, and there's no question about that. And because there seems to be, they can mess with the views, but they can't mess with the thumbs up. Or there's like a, you know, there's a difference between them. Like, I know several of my interviews, people have told me that there were like 20 thumbs up before there was a view. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it equals out. It might be a timing issue. I just I don't know. I think there's some serious issues there. But let's talk about the bullyocracy and what it means to the structure of our country. Because I think you hit on something that's deeper than just bullying in schools and bullying in kids. I really think it's a deeper ingrained issue that is coming from the top and filtering all the way through to the roots.